When the Apostle Paul gathered a group of new Christian followers, he held high hopes that they would embody Jesus' teachings of selfless love, moral purity, and human harmony. In reality, the Corinthians blew it, big time. Paul responded with a corrective plan to help God's people experience life together as God intended. Come join us as we study Paul's timeless instructions for living, loving, and working as a team to realize change in ourselves and our community in a series called Life Together.
Morning, church. It's good to be back with you this weekend. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we begin this service. You know, one of the things that the early church, the first century church, was having to deal with was bringing together people who are very different from each other. Jews and Gentiles who did not worship together before they came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Pagans, people who didn't worship any god or worshiped multiple gods, coming together with Jewish people, Gentile people. And the Corinthian church had to deal with that too. And Paul addresses that throughout the book of Corinthians. He addresses this issue of unity, as we've talked about this before, and you see it as you read through the letter, that he is insistent that we are one people in Christ, that whatever differences exist among us as a people, we are united, we are one in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to read to you this morning, just a short couple of verses from chapter 12, starting with verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You know, what Paul is saying there is we have our differences. Clearly, we are not all alike. We're not all identical. We have our differences, but those differences are not as important as the fact that we are united together in Jesus Christ. And if the, you know, you can imagine, I mean, it's kind of a weird image, I suppose, but if your limbs began to separate themselves from your body, that would be odd and strange and uncomfortable and wouldn't work out very well for any of us, right? And he's saying, you know, kind of think of that imagery when you think about being the part of the body of Christ. The important thing is that we recognize that unity and we protect that unity and we continue to build that unity with one another. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. I say all of that as a preface to what we're going to share with you. We're going to share this morning, Pastor John and myself, about the trip that we took to Gahanda to visit people who are very different from us in a lot of ways, but again, with whom we share this one very critical thing, and that is our unity in Jesus Christ. And it's a powerful thing to experience. And if you've been on a missions trip or you've visited churches in foreign places that are different from what you're used to, you know what I'm talking about. If you never have, I really pray and hope that you'll get that opportunity to do it. Because when you are worshiping Jesus, I remember in the worship service that we were having, I said at one point, I don't understand a word you people are saying. But I certainly feel the love of Jesus in your hearts, and that's communicating really well to me. And that's the beauty of being one people in Christ. We can worship with people and not even share the same language and know what the words are, but we can still sense and experience that unity in Jesus. It's a phenomenal thing. It's a wonderful thing. Obviously, I'm still a little bit high from the trip that we just took. This is, I will tell you too, you are getting to experience what every person who goes on a short-term mission trip experiences, and that is that the number one rule on one of those trips is be flexible, okay? Because things, right, Jordan? You were on a trip. Be flexible, because the plans you make for the day may be totally scrapped, and you may end up doing something completely different, okay? And as you know, Puritan heritage, many of us Americans, we like our plans, right? We make our plans and then we follow our plans and we get it done. Well, when you go on a mission trip, you discover that that just doesn't work, okay? And if you're rigidly stuck to your plans, you're going to be in trouble. You have to be flexible. We need to be flexible this morning. This is not what we had planned for you this morning. We had planned, actually, Pastor John and I thought we were being really smart. You know, we would have Linda Adams, the ICCM director, here this weekend so that we wouldn't have to prepare a message and talk to you after our long trip. We could just rest this weekend. guess what? Linda Adams, the International Child Care Ministries director, contacted us yesterday afternoon, wasn't feeling well. Turns out she's going in today for an appendectomy, so she is not going to be with us today, but you can pray for her and the surgery and that all goes well for her. She's a wonderful woman, wonderful leader, wonderful speaker. We will have her back as soon as she's able to join us at a future date, but today we're going to be flexible, and we're going to show you, this is home movie time, okay? We're going to show you some pictures and talk about this trip to Rwanda, okay? So here is a map of Rwanda, and it's a country about the size of Maryland, so you can just think about how many Rwandas would fit within the United States. It's not a really large country. Right here in the center, let me go over here. Right here in the very center of the country is Kigali. I was calling it Kigali because it starts with a K, but in the Kenyan Rwandan language, that's pronounced Kigali. So you've all learned a little bit of Kenyan Rwandan right now. So this is capital city. The country's divided into five parts, with capital city being one, and then the eastern province, northern, western, and southern. And down here in the southern province, you see Nyanza. Nyanza is the area in which Gahanda is located. Gahanda, I was expecting when we got to Gahanda that we'd see kind of a little village thing. Gahanda is not a village. Gahanda is a lot of hills. Okay, and so there's no actual town center in Gahanda. It looks like this. Okay, a lot of hills. Rwanda is called the land of 1,000 hills. And it's beautiful. I got sunburned, came back to snow. What is wrong with you people? Why could not you get rid of the snow while we were gone? I was so expecting to come back to green grass. But it's beautiful. All hills all around, gorgeous countryside. Those rocks, Pastor John may want to mention this in a little bit. Pastor John preached from those rocks, standing on the edge of what, 20, 30 feet behind you?
Right ahead.
In a rainstorm. Well, not a storm, I guess, but it was raining while we were out there as well. And the really beautiful thing is that nobody went anywhere in the rain. Yeah. They just stayed and they listened to Pastor John preach. We started our trip at the Genocide Memorial. And I mentioned this, I think it's important that we mention this as we begin to talk about Rwanda. It's important for us as a church, because we're going to be in this partnership for a while, it's important for us to learn things about Rwanda, to understand the country of Rwanda. I can't remember, was it the bishop who said our country, he considers it 24 years old?
Right.
As the bishop?
That was the bishop, yeah.
Of this genocide that happened in 1994. I teach a class at Roberts, and the other day I asked them, how many of you were alive in 1994? One person. I said, how many of you know anything about the Rwanda genocide? Nobody. So we talked about it a little bit. Again, I'm not going to go into great detail, but just to say that in 1994, some simmering tensions between the Hutus and the Tutsis, the two main tribes that make up the people of Gahanda. There is a third, the Twa, but they're a much smaller group. They were affected by the genocide as well, though. But some simmering tension erupted. It erupted, and the Hutu people were encouraged as their patriotic duty to kill Tutsis. The Hutu people were more numerous than the Tutsis, and the Tutsis had more power than the Hutus, and that was all came together, and numerous other things came together, so that they were encouraged to go out, again, as their patriotic duty, their responsibility to kill Tutsis. And if Hutu people refused to kill a Tutsi, then they were considered enemies of the Hutu people, and they were to be killed. At the end of it, it was 100 days of killing. 1 million people lost their lives in that time. This genocide memorial is a witness to what happened. It's incredibly moving. And it's also a witness to the country's desire to learn and heal and be one nation of people. And I got to say, I wondered how it would feel being there, knowing all of this. I felt very safe. I felt like people are actively working on building bridges. I've told you the story before of Afas, the International Child Care Ministries director there. He was a Hutu. He is a Hutu. 17 years old when the genocide happened, he prayed that if God would see him through that, that God would allow him to marry a Tutsi woman. And God did. He brought a Tutsi woman into Afas's life, and Afas married her as a symbol of the desire to build bridges between people. And I think that's a beautiful thing, and I think that's a Christ thing, and something that that all of us should be working on. So that's where we started our trip. And then we went from here to Gahanda. Pastor John, you want to?
Yeah, so we, and some of you have seen this on Northgate's Facebook page, and we've talked about it. We arrived in Gahanda, and I think I've thought about the first group because they really had no idea what to expect. We had a little bit of an idea what to expect, but we went through, it was probably like 15 minutes from where we stayed into the village. And 15 minutes, it was probably like 2 miles. I mean, it was just such rugged terrain. But as we pulled up, as we began to get closer to the school, which if they're, like Vern said, it's so scattered, but if there is a village center, it feels like the school and the church, like at the top of this mountain. There was just, I mean, no way to describe it, but a parade of people. I mean, and it must have been a quarter mile of these kids just lined up, and they were singing. They were singing in English. They had our picture, which was kind of crazy, and they had a sign. And we got out, and I think all four of us, before we even got out of the car, were either choked up or in tears just at that kind of reception. And the thing that kept coming back to me was that we were there as representatives of Northgate, which is a really awesome privilege and something that we took very seriously. But all I kept thinking is, man, I wish that everyone at Northgate could experience this welcome. Because some of you may or may not remember this. I believe it was New Year's Eve 2016. Pastor Vern preached a vision sermon called 5 Points of Light. And one of those was, we wanted to expand our world. Northgate is a great community, this is a great area, but we wanted to make it about more than just us. And so all of a sudden we're there, and there's this little, it's not even on the map, it's not even a dot on the map, that is a part of our world, that our people love, that they love us. Everybody in that community knows the name Northgate. They know the names of the first team of Mark and Ruth and Kelly and Rosalina and Julie. And so we arrived there, and I just kept telling myself, like, that welcome was for all of you that we got. And it was truly incredible. I mean, it was phenomenal as we walked up through. And I was like, I want to shake every one of these kids' hands. You know, there were two sides. It's like, I'm going to go on the right side and shake every kid's hand and look them in the eye just so they knew how grateful we were. And so we finally made our way up. And that was several minutes to do that. And we made our way up. And there was a kind of a ceremony, I guess in our honor, for lack of a better term. And so we went, they have traditional clubs, which is some dancing and things, and they kind of set us down there, and they had a bunch of different dances and ways of welcoming us, of introducing us to the crowd. An hour of ceremonies, and you can see the kids lined up in the back. I love my kids, I love our kids, but man, behavior-wise, you put 1,200 of these kids in a little space, and they're fine. Like, they're complete. There's no pushing or shoving. It was amazing. So our arrival to Gahanda, and it took so long because we left Buffalo at 2:30 Monday morning. Because of the time change and the travel, we got to Rwanda around 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon, and then we, you know, spent the night, went to the museum, drove down the next day. So we left here early Monday morning and didn't get to Gahanda to Thursday morning. But
Tuesday.
Thursday.
We left on Monday, got there Tuesday.
Well, we didn't get to Gahanda to Thursday morning.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, it was this build-up. We have no idea. We would, like, debate about what day it was. I did find that African John is much more flexible than American John. Like, that's not a strength of mine, and I was just able to say, all right, whatever we're going to do. So this village, I cannot overstate how much like love and joy and gratitude there is for our church, for what has happened through this partnership. I mean, there's nobody more famous in that community than Northgate because of what God has done through this partnership. And so I hope if you didn't see the videos, go to Northgate's Facebook page and watch some of those, try and catch some of those to see just the welcome that we received. It was so humbling. I don't think I've ever felt less worthy of something that was being done to us. And so it was a really cool way just to kind of arrive at the village and just be overwhelmed by their love. It was awesome.
Okay. What's after the film clip, Sean? Oh, okay. Where's Mark? Is Mark in here? You see the hat? That says Logan on it, okay? This is one of the teachers, Jared, and he's wearing a Northgate shirt that the team that went last year gave to the people, to the teachers, and Mark left his hat for him as well, and he was proudly wearing that, so we just thought that'd be fun to show. This is a Faust on the left. We hope to have him come and visit us in the near future, hopefully.
I'm praying in this picture.
You're praying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's why you have your eyes closed, okay. Why are mine open, though?
You're the only one that looks good in that. Everyone else has their eyes closed. You know who picked that picture?
Who?
Go on.
Okay.
Not me. Not me.
You know how easily I get confused. Hey, go back for one second, Sean. I wanted you to particularly make note of the man in the middle, okay, the man in the yellow shirt. This is Pastor Alex. He is the pastor of the Free Methodist Church there in Gahanda. He's also the superintendent of that school, and it's 1,300 students. He is a phenomenal man, an incredible leader, a humble man. He walks an hour every morning to get to the school. So that he can do his job, and then an hour at night to walk. He walks home. I was really impressed with who he is as a person. Just terrific.
And he does that 7 days a week.
Church
on Sunday. Yep. He's got school Monday to Friday, and Saturday he comes and does devotions and porridge. So it's only half day, but I mean, if you got to walk an hour each way, it's a long day, no matter what.
Yep. Okay, Sean, you can go to the next one. So this is one of the teachers, Anne Marie, and some of the students. The next slide also shows some of the students in the classroom, okay? As John said, really well behaved. We had a chance to sit in a classroom and watch the teachers teach. And, they're just really attentive kids and really respectful kids. In fact, a couple of kids came to our class late. They knocked on the door and then stood there silently while the teacher finished the part of the lesson he was working on, and then turned and invited them to come into the room. That's kind of, now, I say that, and then I said last night too, but don't get me wrong, these kids were also full of mischief. They're just normal kids, okay? So there were times they were screwing around and so forth, but with their classrooms, they were very respectful and eager to learn. And this is a pastor's group that we met with, and about 30 pastors from the area. We were there basically to talk to them about the ICCM partnership and how it works and what it's for. And then John gave a great teaching on integrity because there has been, historically, there was an issue with ICCM and the way that some of the local people were using the program. And so it was actually stopped for a while and then restarted under new leadership so that it could be done with integrity. So we were talking about the importance of maintaining our integrity in this partnership.
One really cool thing that I was really moved by with that is that one of the reasons that Gahanda was picked was because of Pastor Alex, because a FOST in ICCM knew him to be a man of integrity. When you talk about some of the money that's going to flow through that community because of our sponsorships, that's a huge thing. And so I was just, as a pastor and as a leader, I was so moved and challenged by the fact that him being a man of integrity has had this impact on his community. Because if they looked at him and they were like, I don't know, he might skim money, he might, you know, we have to worry about him, that whole village would not have been as impacted as they are. So that was a really cool thing to do. And one of these guys, I don't remember which one, started walking at 3 in the morning to get there. I said, Vern, you better be really good. You better make this worth it, man. This guy, yeah. He started walking at 3 in the morning. We started at 9 to be there. But there's such a hunger to learn and to be together. And that was really cool to see.
Yeah. Everybody walks to this location where the school and the church is because there is a road in, but you need a four-wheel drive vehicle to make that road.
Even then, it's dicey a couple times.
And even then, it's dicey. So everybody is walking to the school and to the church. We were walking one day. We visited about 30 sponsored children from Northgate, which was awesome. We went to 30 families. So many of the people, I tell them, Tom and Linda, we visited the child that they sponsor and those others. And they invited us into their homes. We would talk with them, learn a little bit about their stories, pray with them. It was just very humbling and very moving. I took this picture because you see the little child holding Amy's hand as they walk. John was reminding me that little girl, I think it's a little girl.
Yeah, it's Agnes.
Walked with us about 3 miles that day as we visited home. She just kept tagging along. They love to take our hands. They love to be close to us, to speak to us in the limited English that they might know. They were just very warm and receptive and engaging with us. John created all kinds of problems because he kept blowing up balloons and giving them to kids, and
that was a lot of chaos.
It was fun. While we were so this is the sponsor. This is the child that Deb and I sponsor. The little girl in red, Valentine, is her name. And her little brother, and then her mother and her father, and they live in a house. This house is maybe 8 by 10. You can see what it's made of: the stone and dirt, dirt floor, a mat on the floor, and then another little room for cooking that has no stove or chimney. It's just cooking over a wood fire. The smoke goes out an opening at the top of the house. That's a typical home for many of the people that live in Gahanda. On the poorer side, but typical. We did see some that were a little bit better in some ways, a little bit bigger, some that had concrete floors. But none of them have indoor plumbing. Very few of them have electricity. This is very normal. And a house like this would rent for, in our dollars, about between $1.50 and $3.50 a month, okay? Which doesn't sound like much, but this man, Valentine's father, is the cow herder for the community, and he is paid $23 a month, okay, in salary. So, and in a typical wage, we ask, what do people do to earn money in this community? Well, many of them cultivate crops for other people. They're out in the fields hoeing and weeding and so forth, and taking out crops, and they get paid anywhere from 70 cents to a dollar a day. Okay, a typical meal. We had a meal at the guest house where we stayed each night. A hamburger was about 5,000, 6,000 Rwandan francs. It would take them a week to earn that. So, give you some perspective on what things are like for them there. Okay, next up, Sean, you want to talk about this, Joe?
Yeah, this was awesome. This was a really cool thing. Rosalina had gone last year in the first team and had some washcloths to give to some of the kids and saw how meaningful that was, saw how much they enjoyed them, and she came back committed to getting enough for so that each kid could have one. And so a bunch of you did this. A bunch of you were a part of it for crocheting those. We had 3 army duffel bags full of these, and when we were carrying, we had 10 pieces of checked luggage on the way out there, and we was like, man, we got 3 of these, that's so many. But when we got there, and we did this on Monday, where we were able to get the kids, the FOSS lined all the kids up, you can see the 3 bags full, and we passed one out to each kid in the morning session, and it was so awesome. They were so joyful to receive this gift, and for every one of them to do that. We got to the second session, because there's, you know, about 600 kids in the morning, about 600 kids in the afternoon, and there was some concern, like, is there going to be enough? And I just kept saying, Rosalina is praying right now, there's plenty. I felt like Jesus with the bread and the fish. I was just like, it's good, we're good. And so we passed them out, and then we still had enough to give all the teachers one, and had a stack left for Pastor Alex to keep. And so this was, it sounds like a little thing, but man, it was... this was such a blessing to them, and it was so cool because they all remember Rosalina, they all know her name, and the people, there was people that had nothing to do with Northgate that had participated in that, so for them to see that was one of the really cool things that we got to do. And then one other thing I do want to just mention, because it was a cool thing. My wife, Amy, is a doer. And so when I was like, well, we're going to build relationships, you know, where it's like a dignitary trip. She's like, well, I want to do something too. She secured funding and over 200 kits, like 220 kits that are called Days for Girls kits. Because in that culture, when it is the time of the month for the young ladies, they just stay home. Like it stops the world. And so there's a company that's making these kits for $5 a piece, and so it's like an enterprise thing. And we took 3 suitcases, and we had another church that left 2 suitcases over there. And Amy and Deb were able to distribute well over 200 of these. And these are a life-changing thing. And the teachers were so excited, and the older girls were excited about what that meant, and a little bit of normalcy of life. So that was a really cool, all these little side projects. And that was just something that, you know, Amy kind of took on and did, and you know, got all the things together for that. And that was a really cool aspect of one of the things we got to do.
Yeah, because what that means is those girls do not have to miss a week of school every month. Mm-hmm. They can actually go to school during that time, so that's huge. What do we got, Sean, after this? Okay, some of you have given cows, and Afast was very strategic in this. He saved the bringing in of the cows, of some more recent cows that you have bought for them, until we got there, because they have a whole ceremony. Cows are so valuable to them. They have and I don't want you to misunderstand, they don't worship cows like, you know, some cultures do, but they are so valuable to them that they have a whole ceremony around welcoming the cows into their community. So that's what's happening here. I made the mistake of sharing that I grew up on a dairy farm and that I had learned how to call in cows on our farm. They did love it. They made me do it. They made me do it in church on Sunday again. I couldn't believe it.
And here we are again.
And I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
No, seriously.
That's good.
What are you saying? You want to hear me call in the cows? Oh, my God. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, this is how I learned it on the Saley Farm on Oak Orchard Road, okay? Go, boss! Go, boss!
All right.
I prefer that they whistle, okay, which I can't do, but that's how they call the cows. So we were given gifts in the church service. Their church service is over 3 hours long. It's full of speaking and dancing and singing and in this case, giving of gifts. And so these are outfits that Deb and Amy were given. They put those on them in the church service. And they gave to John and I green hats, and which are a sign of respect in their culture, and these canes. And also, don't have it there, but I have one down here. These, which are milk jugs that they would store milk in. And so really, really nice gifts. They were so appreciative of us being there. And as John said, we were there representing you. And they wanted us to be sure to bring back greetings to you from them. So one of the little boys. Okay, and some more pictures. That's a Mark Logan picture, isn't it?
That's me, but I'm so honored. Oh, did you
take
that?
That.
Yes.
Oh, that's very good.
What's up, Mark?
Very good. Mark's got competition.
There was 391 kids in church, which was a really cool thing. They said that there was 58 members of the church when this partnership started, and there was 486 there the weekend when we were there, including 291 kids, yeah. Which was really cool to see. And the energy and the excitement that they brought was incredible.
Yeah, maybe we can move and talk a little bit about the impact of this partnership mm-hmm. on the community. I already shared with you kind of the salaries that they have, and I think the teacher salaries were about
pretty comparable,
$30 yeah. a month. You know, they were so minimal that the teachers were regularly going without lunch in order to stay at the school. The kids would come in two groups, in the morning group and then go home, and then the afternoon group would come. Teachers would be there all day. This is one of the homes, and this is what the cooking looks like in those homes. But the teachers were going without lunch because they were at the school all day and they didn't necessarily have the funds to provide lunch. Through sponsorship, I want everyone to understand, when we sponsor children, our individual sponsored child is benefited. Every sponsored child and family has a goat now. Doesn't sound like much to us. It's huge to them to have a goat. That's meat on the table, okay? So every sponsored child has a goat. They have uniforms for school. They have their help to subsidize the paying of their education. But it's also going, our sponsor money also goes to help the whole community. It helps the teachers. It helps provide, now the teachers are pooling some of their funds, and they're able to have lunch in the middle of the day. And that's a good thing, because one of the things I was concerned about and talked to Afas a little bit about is, if we're sponsoring 100 of the 1,200 children, are they going to get stigmatized? You know, they're the privileged kids who are getting things, and then there's all the other kids and families who are not getting things. Well, they're being very careful to see that everybody benefits. The sponsored children benefit the most, but everybody in the community is benefiting from these sponsorships. And I think that's a very good thing. It doesn't contribute to class kind of distinctions. And we're really making a huge impact on this whole area, which is wonderful. I hope you all get to see it someday. So we're helping with things like that. You know, you saw the cows. They want more cows. Let's talk about the future a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here? They would like to have, like to be able to purchase some land, because they don't have enough land now to take care of more cows. They need more pasture land for the cows, any more the cows that would come in. So they would like to purchase some land, and then they would love to have more cows. They would like to. They need a school building, another building for school. So that's a project for the future. They're concerned about health care. There, if you are, Deb and Amy worked with about 15 pregnant women. If those women want to go to the hospital or go see a doctor, they have to walk an hour and a half to get to Nyanza for that to happen. They are building a health center building nearby, but there's no real plan yet for how that's going to be operated. So they're concerned about health care. And teacher training is another. Their teachers are phenomenal, but they would like to be able to help their teachers become more effective. So they would love to have a group of teachers from here come and help them with that. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I think for the future, at some point pretty early on, once we got to Gahanda and I saw the impact that Northgate has had there, I was just struck by the idea of, if this is what God has done in 1 year, then what can happen in 25 or 30 years of this partnership? I really became just enamored thinking about that and saying, all right, God, this has been such a short partnership, and it's had an incredible impact on us too. I mean, I tried to tell them that all the time. I said, you know, you're welcome. You know, we love you guys. You should see what this has done in our community. You should see the way that people have never, you know, stepped foot in Gahanda, the way they love you and care about you. And I tried to tell them that. But I kept thinking about that, about this long-term thing, you know, because, I mean, these are our people. You know, Mark and I have talked about, Andy Stanley has this thing that says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. There's so much need in the world. There's so much brokenness and poverty, and they can be overwhelming when you think about it. But there is one village that we have already had a profound impact on, and we can continue to do that and continue to invest there. And in 25, 30 years, we can change that village and the region, and God is going to do incredible things. So that was my takeaway for the future, is just how we are just getting started with this, and I can't wait to see how many people we can get over there so you can experience what we did, but also just what God is going to do over that long-term commitment and that partnership together over decades, not just a year or two.
So there are more short-term trips planned, and you are invited to speak with one of us if you'd be interested in going on one of those down the road. But I also started thinking about, what if someone from Northgate was called by God to move to Gahanda for a year to teach English, to help train teachers, to minister to people in one way or another? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing for Northgate to support? I think that could happen. It's got to be a call of God, but I think we should be listening for that call. We have, this is partnership. So We're not going to Gahonda to do for them. We are partnering so that they can benefit from what we have and we can benefit from what they have. What do we have? We have money. We have skills. We have the ability to travel, okay, to go there. That's the hardest part of the whole thing, I will tell you, is the travel, okay? Being there, well taken care of. The travel is hard, but it's doable. What do we receive? I was making some notes this morning. Our eyes are open to what God is doing elsewhere in the world. We have the opportunity to give, which is good for our soul. We have a chance to make a huge difference, as Pastor John said. We have a way to contribute to building bridges among people. We reprioritize what we consider necessary and important. And we get an increased capacity to love others. Scott McKnight is a Christian author, and he said something that really went to my heart. He said, love is a rugged commitment to another. Northgate is making a rugged commitment to the people of Gahonda to partner with them for the growth of the kingdom. And that's what this is about. Jesus said, you know, one day there's going to be an accounting for what we have done with what he has given us. And he says, if you give as much as a cup of cold water to a stranger, you're giving it to me, to him, to Jesus. That's what we're doing. We are serving Jesus by serving the people of Gahonda. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thanks for joining us on the Northgate Podcast. We hope this message has been a blessing to you as you walk with Jesus Christ. For more resources, visit our website at northgatefmc.com or download the Northgate app. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time.